Sure does. Amen.
Yeah, Lord.
Amen. It's all right. Sometimes you think you don't know where the Lord will bring you out from. Amen.
He'll bring you out.
He will bring you out. Amen.
All right.
Amen. He said he will go out from the 99 and find that one that's lost and restore them back to the fold. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What a blessed thing that is. Amen. He said he is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Amen. Amen. How many times have you had the Lord blow your mind on something? You thought one thing and then you looked around and you found out God did. He blew your mind. He said,
watch yourself now.
He said, I'm able to go off your charts all together and do something altogether different. He said, behold, I create a new thing in the world. Amen. He has blown my mind many times.
Yes, yes.
Amen. I'm not going to digress too far, but there was a time I was looking for a wife, and he blew my mind, let me say. He went beyond my expectations.
He'll do it.
Well, somebody knows that.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. So I thank God for that, and I continue to thank him every day.
Yes.
For the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Amen.
Yes.
From the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness. He does not change.
All right.
Just a blessing. Amen. He changed not. He told Israel, he said, I am the Lord your God. I do not change. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed.
Yes.
Malachi 3 and 6. It's not because you don't need to be consumed or you didn't deserve it. But it's because I promised your forefathers that I would not destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And my word is good to all the generations.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We thank God for that. I know that blesses me when I think about it.
Yes.
Amen. So we're going to go ahead without delay. You know, we have been working through some things and thought during this season in time, and the whole year's theme in general is to manage living the year without fear.
Yeah.
And what I find is what God's word says comforts me and it gets me through times.
Yes, it does.
And that's why you hear Jesus say things like, let not your heart be troubled. There's some troubling stuff in the world, but you don't have to let your heart be troubled.
All right.
See, it's a matter of you have a choice how you respond to what's going on in your life. So he said, let not your hearts be troubled.
Right.
You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Tells you the good side, that future thing you can set your hope on.
That's right.
Amen. That you can look forward to a blessing.
Yeah.
He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you.
All right.
See, how was he going to tell you? He's the only one been there. They know what it's like.
That's right.
See, and I come out of heaven face to face, didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God.
All right.
Came into the earth to manifest God among men.
Amen.
That's what John said, John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. He said we knew it was the glory of God. The glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen.
So he testifies to who that is. Amen. And so we're going to talk about that. How can we get our mindset adjusted where we can do like Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Somebody said you could render the Greek, stop letting your heart be troubled.
All right.
See what I'm saying? So and they just rendered in the hortatory, let not your heart be troubled. But in other words, stop worrying.
Amen.
What you worried about? What you worried about? If I'm your God, what are you worried about?
Amen.
See, and you know when I look back in my own life, and this is personal testimony. We're gonna get to the lesson in a minute.
Go ahead.
But there was a time. Yeah, I think about all the stuff that threatened me. Where it was a situation I could have been taken out. And it's not all about necessarily not being taken out. But that's the kind of thing that you run into. You come face to face with death, situations, or poverty, or different kinds of things that threaten your life.
Come on.
You You know, and then you see others that have already fallen by the wayside.
Yeah, yeah.
And, and then that puts a spirit of fear in you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened to Timothy. So Paul had to write him a letter. God has not given you
all right.
a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind.
Sound mind. See,
so you got to go back there. You got to dwell on what thus saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do that right now. We had some discussions during the midweek at the Bible study, and some things came up, and the Lord put it in my spirit to talk about this today.
Right,
as we're kind of in a transition here, just so you know where we are. We're about to turn the corner here because we're going to be talking about the things that led up to the Passion week of Jesus coming up here soon.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of in a midpoint here where I think we can insert this message in that whole series as we turn from talking about the year without fear. But I would say all of these things support the idea of living a year without fear.
Yeah.
And you know what? The scripture breaks it down even further. It tells you to live one day at a time. For this is the day that the Lord has made.
All right.
And let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, if you can say that every morning when you get up, guess what's going to happen? After you get up 365 times, you're going to say, this has been a year without fear.
All right.
Haven't had to worry.
All right.
But this is a day that the Lord has made.
Yeah.
And I can only live in this one day. Jesus said, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. You got enough trouble today.
Yeah.
Don't go worry about, next week, next month, next year. They're going to do. No, what about today?
Today.
He said, today is the day of salvation.
Right. Yeah.
And now is the acceptable time.
Right.
See, so God is dealing with right now.
Come on.
That's why they said, well, what's his name? Who is that God who sent you, Moses?
Come on.
He said, tell him, I am.
I am.
That means right now.
I am.
I am.
Yeah.
Not I was, not I'm going to be, but I am.
Yeah.
See, and I am he.
Yeah.
He says here, Jesus said a number of times. Let's move on. I don't want to digress too far here. We start talking about the goodness of God and get awfully good. And it gets gooder and gooder. Amen. So let's hear a reading. We got a few passages I wanted to set before you today. One from the Old Testament and one set from the New Testament. And the deacons will come at this time and share in that reading. Amen. And we ask you to give them your undivided attention. Amen.
Amen.
I'm reading from the Old Testament, Jeremiah 3, 12 through 16. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord. And I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastures according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore.
Amen, amen. You have heard the old covenant word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. Now for a New Testament passage.
The New Testament scripture reading is from John 8:27-36. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father had taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father had not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Mm-hmm.
They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?
Mm.
Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And the servant abided not in the house forever, but the son abided forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed.
Amen, amen. You may be seated in the sanctuary. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy and inerrant word. Amen. And I want to talk briefly on the topic today of going the distance in Christ. Amen. Going the distance in Christ. Amen. The walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is just that. It's a walk. You know, you can't walk and stay in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
You can go around a circle maybe and end up staying in the same spot. The children of Israel were classic for that. They went around a circle for 40 years.
Yeah. 40 years.
But they were moving. They were walking.
Yeah.
See? But a walk is what it is. And it's mm-hmm. described as a walk throughout the whole scripture.
Mm-hmm.
The psalmist says, blessed is the man what that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And it's a matter of who you listen to direct where you're walking.
Yeah.
He says, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now notice that walking person went from walking to standing to sitting. So that's what happens when you listen to the ungodly. It's a walk, but you're going to walk to a seat and end up sitting in the seat of the scornful against God. Now he said that and compared it to, but he said, but the person who listens to God, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands, he stopped walking, he's standing in the way of sinners, then he's sitting after that, ain't even moving anywhere in the seat of the scornful, but his delight on the other hand is in the law of the Lord. When you get in the word and meditate in his law day and night, he says you'll be like a tree. Now that amazed me when I read that. I said, wow, you know, a tree is not moving, is it? But you know what was interesting? When Jesus pulled away the blindness, there was a blind man over in the New Testament. And they brought him to Jesus and it says he touched him.
Yeah.
And he started to walk with him, and then he spit on the ground and took some mud and spittle and made a spittle of clay and anointed his eyes. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then he told him, wash his eyes clear. And he asked him, what did you see? He said, I see men as trees walking.
Hallelujah.
My God, that hit me when those two came together. And it's like, my Lord.
Woo.
So you talk about a tree planted beside the rivers of water.
Yeah.
It bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Yeah.
So God has promised you prosperity and fruitfulness if you walk by faith and not by sight. You don't even need to know what's up with it.
That's right.
Just get moving. Get on the path with God. Start to walk with the Lord. And you will see that God's going to take you to a very great place in your life. And this is the reason why I was prompted to call the message going the distance in Christ. It's a walk. It's not standing still. It's not backing up into what we used to do. It's moving forward in Christ. And there is a course that's set before you. Remember what the writer to the Hebrews said. He said, fix your eyes on Jesus.
All right.
The author and the finisher of our faith.
Yeah.
Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Despising the shame. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So his course was complete. He came all the way through being born as a child. In Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, grew up and walked all the way through this life totally satisfying God, and gave his life as a ransom for our sins, and then ascended into the grave to receive to himself the wages for sin, which is death. Took death upon him, tangled with death, and won. Nobody else has ever done that. He tangled with death and won. Why? Because he was holy. He was without sin. Got out of the grave with all power in his hand. And then he declared, all power is given to me. in heaven and earth. And nobody else really could ever say that. You know why? Because you don't have a solution to death, whoever you are. Jesus did. He got up and said, "Death, I shake off death, and I move right on back and ascend back to the seat next to the Father where I left from in glory."
Thank you.
Amazing when you think it through. So we want to see how it is now that you and I can benefit. We have a race to run, and we're running by faith. Somebody wrote a song like that. I'm not going to sing it for you. Y'all might have to try to get them to leave the sanctuary if I start to sing it. But we have a race.
Yes.
And the writer to the Hebrews says, run the race, which is set before you, looking unto Jesus. There is a race. We're moving forward. We have a distance to go.
Yes.
We haven't gotten there yet. But we have started, most of us here who have trusted Christ, and we're on the road. Somebody wrote a song, "I'm on the right road now." I was on the wrong road, going in the wrong direction. But right now I'm on the right road. When I got in Christ, when I understood God loves me and gave His Son to make me right. So let's move into just a little bit more of the course of the thought from these verses. Last week we talked about embracing and disseminating the supernatural realities of God. Now we said to embrace those things means I take salvation to myself. I realize that God has provided His Son to pay my bill entirely.
Right.
He did it. He so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son.
Whosoever,
all of mankind who believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's a decree from the Lord.
Yes.
That is the flagship message of the church.
All right.
We don't have any other message. Our message is God sent His Son to die for your sin, raised Him out the grave in order to give you eternal life.
Yeah.
And we define eternal life that it's a relationship with God.
That's what it is.
It's a relationship. Why do we know? Jesus said so. He prayed to the Father, John 17. He said that this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. See? So it's about knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. See, there's no separating the Son from the Father. The Son and the Father are inseparable. When you separate the two, you separate yourself.
All right.
That's what happens. The one who has the Son and the Father is the one who's saved. The one who tries to separate the Father from the Son is the one who is lost. And so realize this. I want you to see that there have always been times when people got out of sync that were walking with God. All through the Bible, it is literally a record of people who God loved, who stepped out of the way, and He loved them so much He never let them go.
All right.
And they had to struggle to get away from His love. That's the way it really is.
Amen.
You know, and when we look at ourselves, we may not see that. We try to see ourselves in a different light.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a typical thing in every generation.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to know, even Israel, the chosen one, God sent them Moses.
Come on.
Moses was not a state-of-the-art person who kept every regulation and rule to the letter. See, even though he was the one to whom God gave the law. Moses had an issue. He had prejudice against the Egyptians. He murdered one, it tells us over the book of Exodus.
Yes, he did.
And buried him in the sand.
Come on.
He became a fugitive and had to run away from justice when the Pharaoh saw him to bring judgment to his life.
Yes.
So God's not necessarily looking. He knows we all have issues. Every one of us. You know, we got our issues. We have things that are not right in our lives. We have things that violate His will and His law.
Mm-hmm.
But yet God spares us. Why? Because of His great mercy. Wherewith He loves us.
Yeah.
So this whole nation of Israel, even if we think about Joshua, Joshua had to confront the people after Moses had died.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting thing to me. I just started to see this. God opened this up. I said, "Boy, this is a wonderful thing You're showing me here, Lord."
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does it mean to me, and how can I tell the people about it? Well, you see, Joshua, toward the end of his ministry, he was the one who succeeded Moses.
Uh-huh.
And he ends up telling the people, you know, giving them a choice toward the end of his time of life. Back in Joshua chapter 24,
15,
he says here, he says, and the people said, no, I'm going to read here, verse 22, Joshua 24 and 22.
Yeah.
And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we are witnesses. They say they're witnesses. Now, therefore, he said, put away the strange gods which are among you.
Yeah.
And incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. So you say you're his God. God is your God. Put away the strange gods.
Yes.
Get the strange stuff out your life.
Yes.
That's ungodly. That's not like him.
Mm-hmm.
Incline your ear unto the Lord your God. And your heart, not just your ear.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I know you heard it, but now get your heart right.
Yes.
Incline your heart unto the Lord your God.
Yes.
And people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve and obey his voice.
Amen.
Now he had got back here, he had to totally rebuke them. And I've noticed Dr. Adams mentioned this verse. In verse 15, he says, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers, that your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're now living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So there was always that separating. People separate from what's right. They see what other people are doing and want to become involved. And then they get their minds off the things of God.
Come on now.
So this is why I say you and I have to go the distance in Christ. When we embrace the word of God, that means we take it to ourselves for our own salvation. That's getting saved, we would say. And then when we disseminate, that means we tell others what God requires for them to be saved. And these are all supernatural things about God. And it is the mission of the church to let them know. So this is what I want you to see. God has always provided pastors, like it says here in Jeremiah. Let's look briefly at the text that's set before you. Jeremiah 3 and 12 says, go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return ye backsliding Israel. Now here's Israel still, all these many years, backsliding. What does that mean? That means they're going away, doing things that God has said don't do. They're going into the way of the world and not to the way of God. And he says, and I will cause my anger, I will not cause my anger to fall upon you if you just stop backsliding. For I am merciful. That's one of the great characteristics of God.
Nice.
I will not keep anger forever.
Come on.
See that? Only acknowledge thine iniquity. Don't act like you haven't done anything wrong. That thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God. You mean this is still going on all the way after this many years from the time of Joshua?
Yes, sir.
Look at that. Isn't it amazing? He says, only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God and has scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. And ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. See that? So he's saying, you keep on getting into what other people say.
Uh-huh.
You're not listening to what I see. So just come back, because I have mercy to you.
Yeah.
And this is one of the great problems that you and I experience. It's always been a problem, even of the people who were pursuing the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and I will give you pastors,
mm-hmm.
according to mine own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.
Yes.
That's why we need to be at church.
Uh-huh.
That's why we come need on. To hear the
come
word.
On. Come on.
We got to hear the word. We got to be reminded what God said. We got to be reminded to stay on the right path.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to get saved. It's another thing to get sanctified.
Come on now.
Sanctified means you're going to grow up in the Lord. You're going to come to a more mature understanding of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
God is not going to ever kick you out. He's always on your side.
Always.
But you need to get on his side.
Yeah.
How do you do that? You hear the truth. Jesus said, and you listen to my word, and the word sanctifies you.
Yeah.
It makes you think different about the way things are. It makes you think the way God thinks about things in the world.
Yeah.
And so that's why you need pastors. And he said, according to mine own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding, and it shall come to pass when ye be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, that they shall say no more of the ark of the covenant of the Lord. See, they had turned the ark of the covenant into a ritual where we just to go through the motions and then go and have our little ceremony that we can go right on back to our demonic sin. Well, no. The ark of the covenant, it was a symbol of what God had provided, and it was a symbol of righteousness, the righteousness of God.
Yes.
And basically, it was to make you remember the holiness of God.
Come on now.
And you don't come in and practice some ritual, then turn around and go out and do the same stuff you've been doing.
No.
So he said, you will say no more. It will come to pass when you multiply it in the land, they will say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, and neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. He says, coming a time when once my son has come and ratified my covenant, you won't need this anymore. That was just a symbol to get you through.
That's all it was.
And so basically you have a distance to go with God. We have a walk that we have to take with the Lord. God has always provided pastors and shepherds to teach and lead his flock, who themselves were not perfect. Just because you're a pastor or shepherd doesn't mean you're perfect.
All right.
But they were, however, gifted by God to operate in the capacity of leading and teaching the flock, to guide them to eternal life through faith, not by works, as in the days of Jeremiah the prophet. We teach you to have faith.
Come on.
Faith means I don't need to see it. God said it, so I believe it. Period. The world is against it. So what? God said it, and I believe it.
Amen.
What? The world says you don't have to do that. Well, God said it, and I believe it.
That's it.
And I'm not going to be moved.
That's final.
So you have to be prompted and reminded.
Amen.
The world approves things God said is not righteous.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to learn to walk by faith.
Come on.
And so this is what it is. It doesn't mean God has changed. You know what? He wants you saved. He loves you, and he provided what you need to be saved.
Amen.
But you have to take it upon yourself to go the distance in Christ. You can't just go, oh, I'm saved, so now let me go over here and just kick back. You need to walk with the Lord. You got to learn what God said. You're not going to learn it in the world. You know why? Because they don't know it. So God gives you pastors after his own heart to feed you on knowledge and understanding. He gives them a gift. It's not that they themselves are perfect, but they get you in his book. They get you to understand his principles. They help you be comforted by what God has said, and they also warn you about the things that God has said to warn you about. And so this came up kind of the other day, and I wanted to clarify these things a little bit here. Salvation is paid for. It's complete. Don't ever doubt it or cast any doubt on it. But that doesn't free you to walk apart from the Lord.
Come on.
It frees you to know that God's grace is there for you.
Yes.
His mercy is there for you.
Yes.
The word is like a fuller soap, the Bible. So what is that for? To wash and to cleanse and to sanctify and to deliver. So if you got stuff you're still stuck on, you need to be cleansed. Where are you going to get it? You're going to get it from the word, from God's word. God says, I'm going to give you pastors after my own heart to feed you on knowledge and understanding. The Old Testament catalog, not only of the saved remnant of believing Jews, but also of the failures of many Israelites who started walking with God and failed to complete the course, proving that they were not really sincere from the beginning, but somehow relying on their relationship to God through the flesh alone, but not by faith.
All right.
Well, let me go do my ritual and make my offering, and they started to cheat God even in the offering.
Come on now.
You know what? When you get saved, your whole life, you need to understand, must change.
Yes.
God wants you to change everything about your life. Not just throw God a token here and there. You ought to understand, the church ought to be deeply seated in your heart that this is the pillar and the ground of the truth.
Amen.
I need to finance God's word getting out to the world. I need to reorganize my life so I can make sure the gospel is getting out.
Amen.
Whatever that takes, that means support the church.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying this for my benefit. It's what God said.
Amen.
God said that your mission is to go and teach all the nations.
Yeah.
That won't be free.
Come on.
That won't be cheap.
Come on.
It's going to cost some money.
Amen.
God's people have to pay it to make sure it gets done. If your heart is in it. But you know what? Jesus said where your treasure is, what? There will your heart be also.
Amen.
So you know what? If you got your treasure stacked up over here in Donald Trump's bank and it's building up, and if you're not using it just to help God's word reach the ends of the earth, then I think you think more of this big stack you got here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's really about. You better examine yourself, Paul said, to see whether you're being the faith.
Mm-hmm.
This, and we don't know how much time we have. There's an urgency with the gospel.
Yes.
There's so many people right now today, you can tell by what they do and the
Come
way
on.
They live
Come on,
that
now.
They don't even understand the truth.
Amen.
See? And so how are they going to hear without a preacher, Paul says? Somebody must go. God is not depending on CNN to get his word out.
Amen.
To the world.
Come on now. Come on.
He's not depending on CBS.
Come on.
or TBS or HBO.
Come on.
They're pumping out all kinds of junk, but it's not what God said.
That's it.
You see, so you and I are responsible.
Right.
If we really know God. In fact, we're privileged, let me say.
That's right.
It's a privilege that I can take what God has given me and use it to put his word out to the world.
Come on.
That's a privilege.
Yes.
And you know what? God, I have never beat God giving. He has given me more than I've ever given.
All right.
See,
all right.
But my mind has to start to adjust even in how I handle my finances and getting his word out. It's important. It's not a secondary thing.
Amen.
It's not on the back burner. It ought to be on the front burner.
Right.
And so this is what the people had to say. Now notice this. I'm going to show you one other one here. Jesus said this in Matthew 24. He's given the disciples instructions about the coming of his second return when he comes back. And he tells them how the world will be. He said there'll be earthquakes and pestilence in diverse places. And he started to talk about wars and rumors of wars. And he told them, see that you be not troubled.
Come on.
Boy, does that sound like our message series this year?
Amen.
Yeah, you're going to hear about wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places.
Yeah.
But you see that you be not troubled.
Right.
He said, for all these things must come to pass. These are the beginning of sorrow. God is getting ready to escalate the ante to make it where the people who have rejected and ignored him will now have more reason to seek him.
All right.
He's not doing it to hurt them or judge them.
Right.
But he's letting them know, yeah, this world is this is my world.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to shake it a little to show you that you don't have it under control.
Right.
We got folks now who talk about, oh, we discovered some new planets. Oh, you did. You know what? If you keep looking, when you get your eyeballs right and your telescopes, you're going to find some more.
All right.
Oh, these may be habitable. It's easy for you to guess. But you know what? You only got one that you live on.
Come on now.
Jesus came into this one. And you know what? If there's anybody habitable out there, y'all probably heard me say this before. E.T., if you out there, you need to bow your knee to Jesus. Because the Bible says there's one name under heaven which has been given among men whereby we must be saved. He said the sin of Adam was cursed the whole creation.
Yes.
So I don't care where you're at. You can be out beyond Pluto and Andromeda. If you're out there and you're living out there, you need Jesus to be saved. And that's the truth. The Bible says that.
Amen.
But then he went on to say, all these are the beginning of sorrows.
Yeah.
Then shall they, now notice this, listen to this, don't let this slide by you, Matthew 24:9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted.
Yeah.
And shall kill you.
Yeah.
And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Boy, you don't hear that preached in the church.
Come on, man. Come on.
Boy, you can empty a church full of folk that's not really saved.
Come on.
Talk about you're going to be afflicted and persecuted.
Uh-huh.
You know, well, we don't want to hear that. You know, why you don't want to hear it? Because you ain't saved, evidently.
All right.
God said it.
Hallelujah.
If you're saved, you know, I don't care what happens. God's got this
together. Come on.
And he said, Jesus said, you shall.
Yeah.
Hear these things. These things, they shall deliver you up.
Yes.
To be afflicted. They shall kill you.
Yeah.
And ye shall be hated. It says so. If by all nations, everybody in the world is going to hate you. Why? Because you love God.
Right.
And you believe the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And then shall many be offended and betray one another. That's within the so-called saved. And shall hate one another.
Yeah.
Because God's going to sift out all the people who really don't care, really don't love him, really don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get sifted out. That's where there's always a remnant.
Mm-hmm.
And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many.
Yes.
And because iniquity, that's that inborn sin, that sin-cursed nature, that proclivity to do wrong, people want to protect that.
Yeah.
Well, I got to protect my pet sin.
Come on.
Don't tell me my pet sin is against God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're going to protect our iniquity rather than letting God purge our iniquity.
Come on.
Yeah.
He says that, but he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. The same shall be saved. That's Matthew 24:13. So you got to go the distance in Christ. It's not going to be a cakewalk.
Mm.
Do you think that walk up the Via Della Rosa up to the cross was a cakewalk?
No, sir.
Somebody wrote a song. Must Jesus bear the cross alone while all the world go free?
No.
Mm-mm. No. But then Jesus says this also. We're getting there. Just give me a minute here. I'm trying to wrap up my phone. He says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Did you hear that?
Yes.
And then shall the end come. Now Jesus was saying this to them before he went in the grave.
Mm-hmm.
When he got out of the grave, he said, All power
is
given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all the nations. Same thing he said before. But now he got up because he also has now defeated death and hell and the grave.
Come on.
Those were some enemies that hadn't yet been put under his feet. But when he got out of that tomb, and they had sealed the tomb, highest government on the land, sealed the tomb. The Jews said, seal that tomb and put some guards on it. Because he come up out of there like Lazarus did, boy, we ain't going to be able to stop that news. And what they couldn't. The guards and the seal never stopped people from understanding God had defeated the grave.
All right.
And death.
Yes.
He got out of the grave, defeated death. The devil was defeated in time. The prophecy of Moses had come to pass.
Well,
that it shall bruise your head and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Yeah.
The seed of the woman had gotten up and declared all power.
All right.
And so we see here, we talked about this during the midweek Bible study. For it pleased the Lord that all the fullness should dwell in him, in Christ. And having made peace through the blood of his cross by him, to reconcile all things to himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, see that?
Yeah.
And that you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now God says, I want you to be sure that the work Christ did is everything I require of you. Faith in him.
Yeah.
You ought to have that certainty.
Yeah.
If you don't, you know what? You're not going to be able to grow.
Come on now.
No way.
When you have that certainty, you ought to keep that in your mind.
Yeah.
There's nothing missing from the gospel.
Amen.
Christ has given me everything I need. Same. But is that a license for me to sin?
No.
No! God forbid, Paul said.
Now.
You know what? It's a reason for you to get up and go the distance in Christ.
Yeah.
You need to absorb the word.
Amen.
Come in. And you know what? Ever since I really understood being saved, Minister Katie, you know what? My hips are always in motion toward the church. Because I need to hear the word.
Yeah.
I'm too twisted not to hear the word. I'm serious. I got to hear the word. And even when I heard it, I go, how can you still be thinking like that? And I'm testing against myself.
Yeah.
You need the word bad.
Yeah.
It was the word that got you out of the streets.
Yeah.
It was the word that got you off dope.
Yeah. Come on now.
It was the word that restored your mind so you weren't going about to lose your mind.
All right.
And you think you don't need it now?
Come on now.
Oh no. The Bible said he which began a good work in
Come on.
Shall continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. How are you going to perform it if you don't ever come and talk to
him
and hear the word that he sent pastors to you to feed you with knowledge and understanding? That's why we're here. We're not in here to exalt ourselves. We came to feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now notice what Paul says. He said, understand, there's nothing wrong with the gospel. Know that it's complete. That's where my faith is. That's where the songwriter said, my faith is built on
nothing less
than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock I stand.
Come on now.
All of the ground is sinking sand. It's from there that I start to go the distance in Christ. I understand there's victory is mine. We sang it. But I'm going to go on in Jesus. He just started me here.
Come on.
But I'm going on in Christ. And so Hebrews says this, and we desire, Hebrews 6 and 11, that every one of you do show the same diligence and full assurance of hope until the end. There's a course you're on. Don't give up now. That ye not be slothful. That means lazy. Don't be lazy. I can skip Bible study today. I don't need to come to the church for this or that or the other. Beverly Hillbillies is on or whatever it is. Come on now. Beverly Hillbillies ain't gonna get you saved. I know that's old. Y'all probably said they ain't been on for 100 years, man. But whatever it is, it's not gonna get you saved. Not going to get you sanctified.
Right.
Not going to give you the hope you need.
All right.
And the diligence in your spirit to put sin away from you.
Amen. Yeah.
Only thing going to do that is God's word.
Yeah.
So you can't just put it on the back burner and act like it's not important to me.
Right.
It needs to be the most important thing to
yes.
you. How did you get
yes.
saved? By hearing his word.
Yes.
How you going to get sanctified? By hearing his word.
All right.
How are you going to get free in deliverance? By hearing his word. So I got to go the distance in Christ.
Yeah.
Not enough to start with him and then push him to the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way you ought to think. That's not the way you should think. If your life has still got issues, maybe you need to hear the word.
Amen.
Amen.
You got financial issues? Hear the word.
Amen.
God said the earth is mine and the fullness thereof.
And
everybody who lives on it, all of that is mine.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Why don't you talk to him?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think he'll give you some?
Yes. Yes.
If you have a relationship with him, so I believe he will.
Yes.
In fact, you know what? I'm going to say this. I know.
Come on now. Come on.
I know there is no lack.
Yeah.
So he said, don't be slothful, but be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise.
Yeah.
The certainty of God's promises is what you and I have to look at.
Amen.
When God had made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee.
Mm-hmm.
And multiplying, I will multiply thee.
Mm-hmm.
And so that after he had patiently waited, he obtained the promise.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. You know, Abraham held on no matter what he went through.
Yes,
and he always, you could see him along the way. Stuff didn't go right, but God bought me out of that. I'm going to build
now.
An altar.
Come on. Yes,
and
indeed.
Worship the Lord wherever he was.
Wherever he was.
So this is what I want you to see.
Yes.
That Jesus also taught the same thing.
Yes.
And we're just about done. Here in John 8, he says this. We have to go the distance, church. We don't want to give up halfway down the road.
Amen.
The devil does a lot to get you off the road.
All right.
Or to stop you in your tracks.
Amen.
He'd like to sit you in the seat of the scorn.
Come on.
Where you cannot be productive for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Speaking of the Jews. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. When you see me hanging up on the cross, that was God in his highest glory.
Yes.
The Son of God lifted up between heaven and earth.
Yeah.
Why? Because he represents God.
That's right.
So he was lifted up.
Amen.
And he represents man because we looked up to him.
Yes.
See, from the earth. He is the only link between heaven and earth.
All right.
Between God and man.
Yeah.
The only one. Nobody else was there with him.
That's right.
That was in that position, lifted up between heaven and earth. And he said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you'll know. Because it's going to be glorious to the Father.
Yeah.
The Father's going to be satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have to learn that. Learn to speak the word over your life every day.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do that when you get a good dose of the word very often in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Not just in your own personal reading, but God made this atmosphere of the church for you.
Yeah.
We're here because we love you.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to have victory.
Yes.
You don't know how my soul rejoices every time I hear from one of you.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what God did for me, Pastor?
Yeah.
All that lifts my soul.
Because
I know God will do it.
Yes, he will.
I know he's able.
Yes, he will.
I know he loves you.
Yeah.
I know he's anxious to bless you.
Yes,
and I'm blessed when I hear about it.
Yes.
Verse 29, John 8. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Son speaking.
Uh-huh.
And as he spake these words, many believed on him.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, some of the Jews he talked to got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him.
Yep.
If you believe, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Don't just say you believe, now you're going to walk back up to the temple. No, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth.
Uh-huh.
And the truth shall make you free. See that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we need to be at church. Every time the door opens, I want to come up in here.
Because
mm-hmm.
yes. I need to hear the word.
Yes.
Amen.
The word is going to bless you. And that's what already has blessed you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to bring you through and give you understanding so
yes.
you learn how to defeat
yes,
the rest of the stuff in your life that's still against God.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, the truth shall make you free. I love that. Now people have reduced that. Well, the truth shall set you free. No, the truth shall make you free.
Make you.
Big difference.
Yes.
God has to come in by his power and make you have the power to stop some of that stuff you need to stop. It's him who does it. You need to hear his word. The truth shall make you free. You know what? You're not a true disciple if you don't go the distance in Christ. Don't just say, oh, I got saved on November the 24th back in 1972. No, you need to be walking with God every day. Walk with God. Participate in the word in the church. And then notice this. They say to him, they answer him, we be Abraham's seed, and we have never been in bondage to any man. Thou sayest thou, you shall be made free. Oh, you haven't been in bondage. What about Syria? What about Babylon? What about Alexander the Great? What about all those Ptolemies and Philopaters, all those people who overtook you, all those generations? You ain't never been in bondage. What about those Romans who are up there right now over you? Got somebody's not even an Israelite sitting in your throne. But you ain't never been in bondage. Wow. Blind as a bat. What can I say?
Wow.
And how are you going to say we shall be made free? That's the very attitude of the person who really needs the word.
Yep.
Bad. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. Check your sin record, guys. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son, therefore, shall make you free, then you shall be free indeed. So Jesus taught that it's not the ones who strike with him, walking by faith, who are the saved, but the ones who stay the course through thick and thin and finish in him are the ones that are the saved. Many are called, but few are chosen.
There you go.
A lot of them are called. A whole lot of people start off, but not many of them finish the course. There are fewer to finish than the ones that start. But when the trouble comes, the ones who see the trouble, that's what he said. Some people, they fall away when trouble comes because of the word. See, people start calling me a Christian Bible somebody and find something bad to say about you. You're a little church boy. What are you doing? You don't want to criticize. Yes, I am. Thank you. Truly I am. Thank you, Jesus. I might go right into a shout on you say that. But I am not ashamed of the gospel.
All right.
Good thing to me. I don't know. You are not going to judge me, whoever you are.
Right.
One going to judge me is the one who came out of heaven. Died on the cross to pay my bill. Got up and said, all power is given to me.
All right.
In heaven and earth.
Oh, yes.
And go ye therefore and teach. So if you hear me teaching, that's what I do. I want to teach you. I want you to know God loves you just like you are. You cannot make yourself acceptable to him. That's why he sent the son to give you acceptability.
That's right, man.
Now, you're acceptable because of him. If you trust in him and believe in him and believe that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. Let us stand right now and let's pray. If there's anybody in the sanctuary who has not trusted Christ personally, I'm going to pray with you and ask, you may ask him now at this time in prayer to fill your life and to be there in you. And he said he will give you the Holy Spirit. Eternal God, we bless you, we praise you, we've heard the good news that you loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son. You said whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we need that.
Yes.
We need to be filled with your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We need your grace, Lord.
Yes.
We know that the word cannot even be understood apart from the interpretation of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so, Father, you said you would seal us with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption if we believe that you raised your Son from the dead. And you gave him to cover us for all sin, past, present, and future. And so today, Father, some of us just need you to re-encourage our hearts.
Yes.
So that we can just walk with you a little more closer. A closer walk with you, Lord. That's what we really need.
Oh, yes.
And Father, we pray that every person under the sound of my voice, is every need that they have will be met. Oh, God, and you are able because you made everything. And it belongs to you. So bless somebody in the room with salvation today, God. Let them leave this place knowing that I am born again from above, according to your spirit, by your grace. I didn't do anything. anything to deserve
it. So, Lord.
But it's your good pleasure to give us the kingdom.
Yes.
So, Father, we thank you for salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
We pray for a diligent heart, God.
Yes.
Give us a diligent heart to
right
the things
now,
of God.
Yes.
Help us, oh God, to turn and begin to devote ourselves once again to those principles that you have declared in your word. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise and the glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the righteous one. It's in his name that we pray and the whole church say it together.
Amen.
Amen. Give God a hand for you. Amen. If you're here today and you have just been saved, we thank God for you and for your salvation. And if you would, if you're here and you'd like to be a part of the St. Timothy family, we want to give you opportunity at this time to come. You may come at this time. Amen. We want you to continue with us.
Yes.
And then we're here. And all the ones, I'm going to ask the question. All of you who are determined in your heart to go the distance with Christ, let me see your hand.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead and let that be a wave offering to the Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We're going to go all the way through.
Yes.
Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. We hope you got a good word from the message today.